I do want to tangent into that, by the way. Thank you. That's good. We ought to be ready for his appearing every day, being ready for him to come. Okay. Yesterday we moved in our son to college, and he lives in an apartment, has a nice little living room and kitchen and two bedrooms that are very, very small. But it's okay because they're still bigger than my dorm room, I think, in college. As we were moving into, obviously we know his roommate, their parents. But as we were meeting the other two parents from Lafayette, one of them is a school teacher, seventh grade school teacher, teaching social studies. And we got this long conversation about how he is forced to teach five different religions and how he gets a lot of people upset about that. But here's what he made a comment. He said, because of course they found out I was a pastor, right? They said, oh, well, I believe that, you know, as long as you believe in something, it's good. And I teach that every year. All my seventh graders, I teach. And I got 1,100 seventh graders in our West Lafayette district. And I teach them all that as long as you believe in something, it will benefit you. Because I personally grew up whatever denomination he's in. I won't even do it because I don't want to be critical. I personally grew up this way, so I believe this way. But as long as you have a belief system that causes you to live to be a better person, I support that. Of course, I just shut my mouth like, where do I go in here and ruin my son's future roommates here for the whole year? So I'm like, okay, wisdom. And then his buddy next to him, because so Joshua and his friend, just two sets of friends moved in, so it's kind of cool. His dad goes, I grew up Baptist and all that legalism. I think it's a bunch of BS. I said, wow, this could be a really fun afternoon here. I have just been activated. Now, earlier we got talking about contracting work and all that, because I do a lot of that, so we're fun having, we're all on the same page. Then they find out the pastor side of me, and they're like, oh boy. And then he says to me, I just realized, all that stuff growing up, I can't dance, I can't. So he has, oh, you grew up way over here. And so I started listening to him, and these two guys got talking. And finally, it was awesome. I waited for my moment, you know, because I wasn't going to let it go. And I said, I believe this, that there's nothing in God's word that's bad. There's nothing in God's word that brings destruction to anyone. If we live by the tenets of Jesus about loving one another, we live by what 10 commandments bad? I mean, I don't know, last time I checked, thou shalt not kill helps everybody. And they kind of chuckled and said, yeah, that's good. I said, name a 10 commandment that's bad for our relationships. None of them. Name anything that God is calling us to do as Christians that doesn't make the world a better place. We ought to love one another. And even though we might disagree with people, we still long for them to, if we all were able to come to a place with Christ, we were able, and as I got a chance to share this, they were in agreement, by the way. It was really kind of cool. And at the end of it, they all agreed. And I just said, I just hope and pray that as our kids get to know each other throughout this year, that I'll be praying, you know, that God will just continue to sparkle, especially the one guy that, you know, I grew up a lot. I said, I grew up in a little bit of legalism myself. And I hope that you'll find the truth that God's love is greater than the law that you lived under. His grace is greater than that law. And we had a good time. We were done. But, you know, this week has been full, whether it was a national meeting or just meeting somebody for the first time. The views people have of God are twisted. I want to be a church that I declare today that we do not have a twisted view of God, but instead we can help people find the true God that gives them hope, gives them love, and gives them a fresh relationship, and they can come to a place of repentance. No, let's not leave that part out. I'll get to that in my notes anyways, depending on how far we get today. Repentance will give them all a brand new life. And so no matter where we go, we have a prime opportunity to love people. And when we see this thing happening in a national media, whether it's an author, a worship leader, or whether it's so-and-so, different celebrities, we have a chance to go deeper and go stronger, not flake out like everybody else is. Let's not flake out. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. Let's go there today. All righty. Speaking of law, legalism. Boy, if you missed the last, you know, few weeks, we've been on a series. Kenny did 10 weeks on who the Holy Spirit is in our life, his character, his nature, his leading. And then we've been doing a little series on walking in the Spirit. And there's a few things I'm going to capture. I'm going to try not to overview too much. But the difference between walking in the Spirit and standing on what God says is vital, because we need to learn to stand in the face of adversity, stand when things go wrong, We also need to learn that if we just get there standing and do nothing about it, we will not walk out our faith, and we're going to see things happen. So verse 1 says, stand therefore in the freedom which Christ has made you free, and do not be again entangled to a yoke of bondage. Jump to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. What has been done? The verse 17 verses, Paul is talking about living under grace versus the law. Living under the Spirit and standing in what God says versus trying to live by legalism. And I've said this for weeks after weeks. Legalism, law, changes behavior from the outside in. That's what legalism does. It tries to give you a behavior modification. But when you get the Spirit of God living inside of you and it's Spirit-led, it becomes the inside out. It becomes transformation. So behavior modification changes temporary. Transformation is permanent. It changes from the inside out, causing a radical change of behavior and lifestyle because it's motivated by God's Spirit, not by law. And so Paul says, but our flesh is going to still wage war against that. Our flesh doesn't want transformation. Our flesh wants to live in the same old lifestyle, and there's going to be a war. So we have to learn to walk this thing out every day. Let me give you an example of walking it out. If today you received the word that Kenny had, I want to share a little bit on that too. As Kenny gave the word today about breathing, breath, I'm going to give a testimony because I just feel I'm going to humble myself before you a little bit this morning and just share something. We have been under a lot of stuff between getting as parents. Yes, I know some of you already done this, and then I think somebody this morning said, welcome to the club. You know, moving your kid out, your first kid out, was rough. You know, I have a wonderful son, and I've had the privilege of working with him all summer. I've spent a lot of time with him. And as a dad, and of course, I didn't let my wife see it, but as the tears have flown a few times, as I'm going to hold him back now, it's not like we're not going to see him, but it's different. It's a stage in life that changes. And it's been hard because I think about it. And so we're going to move along. Get a drink of water real quick, if you don't mind. We're all good here. It's all good. Okay, let's move forward. But, you know, as many of you know, I love what I do here, and there's a lot of things going on. I'm here. We're really trying to, as a church, to get on the same page. I think we got a great vision. Even this last week, we've had some amazing conversations about going. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things I really want to jump on today that I might get to, but I'm going to go ahead and just introduce it now, is I keep hearing, we want more, we want more. You know what I want more of? I want to go deeper. A lot of times when people think of more, they go and they think of what's out there that we're not getting a hold of. I don't want to ever have that perspective in my life where I'm not content and satisfied with what God's given me now. Diane gave a good word this morning that I'm not going to ruin because she's going to do it for communion here soon. But when we remember how good God is, we want more of that goodness. We want more of his nature, his character. We want more of God's Spirit because we're being more yielded. We're being more surrendered. Getting more isn't just going and trying to find another pool to jump into because it's got better, warmer, cooler, whatever water you want. Getting more is taking what we have and cultivating it and going deeper and deeper and stronger. As a church, I see us doing this. It's getting more the right way. Rather than going and changing what we believe, it's getting stronger and deeper in what we believe. And we're going to get to a point where I want to see more healings. I want to see more miracles. But you know what you did? Last Sunday, I want to give you a testimony. Is Sharon and a couple of the ladies came back and said, I was going to a different hospital visit, so they were going to that one. And I said, they wanted to go, and they felt led to go pray. So we began to pray, and I just felt the anointing of God when we were praying. And they went over to somebody's home and prayed. And I got a text that afternoon said, when those ladies came in and prayed, we felt the presence of God in our home. And not only that, we felt complete healing in their body. These are testimonies we don't give often enough. But being that I get to hear about them all, there has not been a week go by in a long time where I've not heard God heal or touch somebody's life in a major way. We just don't get up here and share them enough. But God is moving. He's moving through you all. I wasn't there, but God was, and you were. The church ought to be, as Kenny was saying, mobilized outside. I want to see miracles happen right here on Sunday morning, yes, but I would almost rather see them at Kroger. I'd rather see them with you walking down there and going, seeing somebody and going, you know what? Silver and gold have I not, which you can have that too, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that. Silver, but what I do have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. To me, that happens at Kroger. It can happen here, but why not go to Walmart and see it happen? Why not be the church that is mobilized rather than having the expectation that everything is got to be done this way? God is bigger than our expectation. And I want to see a church that explodes with expectation to see that the God of the universe who is, and we're getting more and more, getting excited about doing the carnival. I'm telling you, please, don't just sign up to, we need a lot of helpers because Linda's putting a lot of time in this, but this is a gospel outreach. We're hoping to see souls get saved. I'm hoping to see some of you who want to see the silver and gold, have I not, people, get out there and in the name of Jesus, cause them to walk out there. There are going to be people coming to this parking lot for free food, free entertainment, excitement, and they're going to be coming in from all over just, or it's not in the parking lot, it's in here. It's actually in here. So, okay, it's going to be right in here. They're going to be walking in this building, and there's going to be people around the church that is going to go and minister the gospel of good news to people. And you're not going to do it because you're a member of the church or because you're a leader. You're going to do it because you're a believer. You're going to do it because you love Jesus. And we're going to serve the community. We're going to love the community. And we're going to open up this place. And it's not going to be a spare life thing. It's going to be, hopefully, people coming from all around to help us get the good news out. And no matter where they land in church on Sunday morning, as long as they go to a church that believes in the Word of God and they can get born again, that's what we're all about. I want to be a church that believes this way. And so we're discovering more and more of excitement of who we are. But as we're doing this, it gets, going back to my point that I was making, I told you I just kind of introduced that. That's another topic we're going to talk about later. But there's a lot of stirring going on inside me, and that's a good thing. But, you know, then I have a work thing over here that I've been doing, and there's a lot of jobs and trying to line them up and get people to work. And my life has been spinning and spinning and running and running. I just feel like I need some peace. And so this week I had a chance to get alone and have some peace. But when Kenny gave that word this morning, going all the way back full circle, see, he thought if I forgot where I went, not a chance. This is what happened when he gave that word. The Holy Spirit fell upon me. And I took a breath. And I felt the presence of God manifest. And some of the stress that I've been putting on myself, I was able to breathe. Not physical problems, but I was able to get this. I felt that stress just leave. And that stress is wrong. It's sin in my own part, holding on things I shouldn't. But I'll humble myself for just a minute. I'll try to stay that way. I'll try. But when he gave that word, it's not just for your physical ailments. It's for us as people. So I encourage you right now, under that anointing, and I still feel what he said is still just as anointed now as it was when he said it. If you are in a person right now, and you've got a lot of weight you're carrying, and you just feel like you're overwhelmed with sadness, grief, you're overwhelmed with stress, you're overwhelmed with all this feeling pressure, I encourage you, receive that word of the Lord today. You can breathe again. It's not just physical. It's the breath of life. It's the breath of peace. It's the breath of wholeness. God wants to minister to us every single day. And when we get a word like that, I don't want to just bypass it because, I believe God really spoke through Kenny today. And some of you in the room right now need to take a deep breath and let that peace of God rule over you and receive it. Did you receive that this morning? Let me just pray. Father, I pray even right now in this room, as you gave a word earlier through Kenny, I choose by faith to receive it. If you're in a place right now, you don't have to stand up, not going to make you do cartwheels. Just where you're at, would you just release this, Lord? Take a deep breath and receive by faith the presence of God manifesting wholeness, peace. Hope. Just receive it. By faith, I receive peace, comfort, whatever you need. Let that stress of anxiety, of worry, fear, doubt, whatever it might be, let it go by just receiving the word of God today by faith. I receive by faith that I can breathe again. I've got peace, and I'm whole right now in Jesus' name. Amen? Receive that? All right, let's keep going. Let's get back to our notes now. All right, it's been a good week. All right, we're going to get through the review today, by the way, just let you know that. This is good. So we're walking by the Spirit. So we learn to stand. Standing is causing yourself. Oh, that's where this all came from, by the way, is this. So there's a time to stand on God's word. He said it and you stand. But here's the deal. Tony's not here this morning. I talked to Abby yesterday. And that same pain came back and attacked him again. And I prayed with him and I talked to him again. And here's the deal. I know for a fact that God healed him last week. Right, Shelly? We were there. We saw it. You were there. You all there.
I'm there,
but you know it. We've got to learn that the enemy's not going to just sit back and go, all right, I give up. You guys got it. You prayed that one time, it's over. We got to learn to walk this thing out. We got to learn to live it out. When the manifestation of God's healing comes, that's the seed that God planted in you. And that seed is being watered by the word, by your words, by the word, by coming in there and standing every day that in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm standing on the word, but I'm also walking it out every day. I'm living out the word. Every day. One of the things I love about Kenny's testimony, about those that have been able to hear him preach for the last year, few years, about the pain that he encounters, I get to see him on a regular basis because of here and other work that we do. And I get to see there's times where he goes, I really know that I don't want to go do this because there's a thought in the back of my head says, if I do this, it's going to hurt. But there's times where he uses that as a wisdom and says, I better stop. There's also times it says, listen, I'm not going to let that thought stop me from continuing forward. That's walking it out. Don't letting the past paralyze you from becoming who you're called in the future, to your present. Don't let your past pain, your past problems, your past whatever dictate the decisions you make going tomorrow. That is not walking out in faith. You got to learn to step out in faith going, it might have hurt yesterday, but in Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm going to keep pressing in and pressing in. One of the greatest testimones we hear about over and over again, whether, no matter what healing crusade you've ever went to in all your life, there's one common thread that every one of the healing revivalists preach about every single time, and that is this. If you've received today something, do something you haven't been able to do yet. If you're in a wheelchair, get out and walk. If you fall down, get back up. I've told you a story, and I've said it many, many, many times. The Kenneth Hagin story is still one of my favorites. When he tried to get out, when the Lord spoke to him that day, if you're healed, healthy people don't lay in bed all day sick. And so he was like, fine, I'm going to get my legs out. He tried to get his legs out because it felt like a log of wood hit the ground when he first tried. But he didn't quit. He kept persisting. And as he did, the leg grew strength. And something that should have never happened for months, by the way, because he was in bed for a long time. And the Lord miraculously healed him, and he became, obviously, one of the great teachers I have much respect for. Why? Because he took a step of faith. He didn't just believe the word here. He let the word get in him and walk it out. And that's the church. We've got to walk this out. We've got to walk the word out. Whether it's, if I'm going to live in the Spirit, when I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, whatever we're going to get to, if we get to them at all today, we've got to learn to walk these things out. Because when we're walking them out, that's where the fruit comes. You know, you have joy in the journey. You have faith in the process. You don't just get faith because you arrived. Trust me, my faith is strengthened every day. The joy that I have is part of my journey of walking this life out. I don't get joy and go, oh, finally, I got joy. See you guys, I'm out. No, joy ought to be the way we live. These are fruits of walking out the things of God. The perseverance and the patience. You know, this week, patience was being stretched for me. And I was thinking, you're preparing a message this week on patience. And boy, my patience was stretched. But I want to tell you something before I even get to my notes this morning. The teaching that's been done in the church for a long time is, whatever you do, brother, remember this? Mark will remember this one pretty good. I hate the terminology, and so does he. We've talked about it. That, oh, don't pray for patience. Remember that? You've all heard it. That's horrible. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I'll be praying that I live in patience, that I'm not the fear of, well, because of James 1, which we're going to get there maybe today, if we do. Patience produces fruit, it says. Patience produces faith. Wait a minute here. So you're telling me don't pray for something because this is when you pray for patience, you get trials. No, you don't. That's not it. So in other words, you're telling me that God wants to give you something good, but to get it, he's going to give you something bad first. What a twisted God or a twisted belief that you have. It ain't God that's twisted. Don't pray. We get that idea. Don't pray for patience. And we get people scared. I mean, we had somebody we know real well. Don't pray for patience. Okay, I won't. promise. I won't pray for patience one more time. Ever. Because they have this fear that if you get patience, the only way to get it is through bad things happening. Folks, patience is what gets you through the bad thing. It gets you over the bad thing. Patience makes you an overcomer, according to what we're going to get to. Why are you concerned about a trial when you've got the patience that produces faith to get you victory? We've been taught wrong. And so I want to be a person who learns through patience that my faith is strengthened, that I become an overcomer once again and live an overcoming lifestyle. All right, I'm jumping ahead way of my notes. So then the next couple weeks, about grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. And this is where I believe as a church, we must begin to understand living a life of purity, holiness, and honor to God's Spirit is vital. Compromise cannot be part of our recipe for success. Allowing sin to come in our lives willingly grieves the Holy Spirit, quenches his voice and what he's doing. We don't like that because we go, oh, God's a God of grace. You bet he is. He's a good God of love, grace, mercy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, kindness, goodness. He's that God, all of it. But he's also a God of holiness. He's a just God. And he wants us to live in a way that honors him. And it's not because he doesn't love us if we sin, but we're quenching the move of the Spirit in our lives. And so I taught a couple weeks on David and Samson and some others, just where they allowed compromise in their life and it caused destruction, not only in their lives, but those around them. And I believe as Christians, the way we succeed is we do not allow compromise any part of our rest of it. None. We got to get that out of our lives. Amen? All right, I won't even go there anymore. You guys all got that. And then after that, let's see, we went through Hebrews 3 and 4, talking about living in the rest of God. Rather than living in unbelief, we live in rest, because when we live in rest, we live, his Spirit brings us rest. Then last week, we started with the fruits of the Spirit. And so we talked about skipping over the verses 19 through 21, because I don't want to talk about the manifestations of the flesh, because the works of the flesh are generated. The word work versus fruit, we talked about this last week. The word work is the word energy. It takes energy to work these things up. So when you're living in your flesh, these works you start doing, and they're works that we all know are wrong. And we can list them, but you know, you got adultery, fornication, which is sexual sin, uncleanness, idolatry. You have, look, you got shame, you got witchcraft, you got hatred, strife. You got all kinds of stuff in here. And we know these are the acts, works of the flesh. And when we're not living in the Spirit, these things can happen in around us. And it says, and if you live that lifestyle long enough, or this becomes your lifestyle, I have the right to ask you, do you even know Jesus? Because it says these will not inherit the kingdom of God. So they won't inherit the kingdom. I mean, I can't change verse 21. These shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And a lot of times we get, oh, brother, oh, well, you're going there. I didn't go there. Paul went there. So if these are evident in our lives and they become patterns, I'm going to ask you this morning, just examine your heart to make sure that you do have a relationship with God. Amen? So then it says this, though, but, I like those buts, but the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Not the works. This is fruit. Just by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, yielding yourself to who he is in your life, this fruit should automatically come forth. Just like, I mean, how much the 80s apple trees here pretty soon are going to start producing some apples. How much work are they going through right now? That tree is really working hard. No, you keep watering it, and the fruit just comes. And that's how we should be as Christians, rooted and grounded. So when the water comes from the word, we become fruitful. Amen? That'll be our lifestyle. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against there is such no law. Remember, dealing with Paul, he was talking about grace versus law. There's no law against these things. These supersede, these overcome law. And it's amazing. So I shared last week three things. The fruit of the Spirit are three things. One, it's God's character and his nature. So when we talk about love, faith, all those nine fruits, all of them are characteristics of the nature of God himself. Number two, they are great ways that we become more Christ-like. if this is his nature and his character, shouldn't these same fruits be evident in our life? If God is love, shouldn't we become that? Shouldn't we become loving? I mean, I don't think we'll ever become love because he is love. He doesn't just possess it. He is love. That's his nature. But why can't we be loving? If he is kindness, why can't we be kinder? Right? If he is long-suffering with us, why shouldn't we be that way with other people? And so on it goes. And the next one that is very vital to us is this. The third part is after becoming who he is and letting it manifest in our lives, it ought to manifest in our relationships. Our relationships should see a change because I've never met a marriage that was working in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, justice, and self-control that wasn't a good marriage. It's when we stop becoming loving, we stop becoming kind, we stop becoming good, we stop becoming patient with each other, things get irritable. But when our relationships have this fruit in them, they're also healthy relationships. And so that's what we're talking about. So last week we went through love, we went through peace, and we went through joy. And the review on that is they're all really good to have in your life. Now, let's go to patience. James chapter 1, and let's get through this one today, and let's see if we can't get through kindness too, but let's just see. So James chapter 1 is yeah, we'll get there. Right there between them. All righty, y'all ready? James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. I want you to know that. Just right there. Just to give you a heads up. When you fall, the word there literally means to encounter or involved in. Diverse temptations, trials, proving. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Amen. Why is that a bad thing, folks? Knowing this, that when you are being tried, it doesn't mean you're living in sin. It doesn't mean that a bad thing has happened to you. It means you're being tried. It means that your faith is under attack. Right? So anybody want to stand in faith over Steve Dahl completely getting recovered and walking out of that hospital? I'm going to stand in faith with you. How about I'm going to stand with Tony? And I'm going to keep standing, and right now, they are in the middle of the trying of their faith. Here's the deal. If you jump back, I got to look. I think it's 412, but let me make sure. Kenny can help me. No, it's not 412. It's 612. Hebrews 6:12, I think, is what it is. Yes, it is. Hebrews 6:12 says this, that you would not be slothful, but followers of them, through faith and patience, inherit their promise. How do you inherit the promise of God? Through faith and patience. How do you stay walking this thing out? How do you walk in the Spirit and stay in faith? Patience. Who are we waiting for? We're waiting for God to show up? Nope, wrong answer. God already did it, right? God's done. He provided. We're waiting for the manifestation of faith to come to a place where we are waiting on the expecting manifestation of God's word to bear fruit. The seed's there. Steve Dahl has seed in him of healing. It's Jesus. It's God's Spirit living in him. There is already the healing covenant there. Now we're waiting for the manifestation of that seed to come to fruition. True? All good? We're all living the same page. We're all here. So what do we do? Do not grow weary. Galatians chapter 6, in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't what? Faint. If you don't quit, you will receive. This is a part of the faith message that a lot of people don't really understand. And I want to make sure we do a really good job today understanding that without patience and faith working together, you might not inherit your promise, according to Hebrews 6:12. It's one thing to stand on God's word. And I believe as a church, I want to teach you to stand. Receive what's rightfully yours. And you know what? Yes, we're a church. We believe in prosperity of the believer. We believe in healing for every believer. We believe in peace. And we believe in everything in God's word is ours because he said it. Now, the manifestation of that is our faith and the patience that goes with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. I so bad, Kenny. I so bad want to go to the 80s and go too legit to quit. You know, little MC Hammer. And Mark goes, no, I shouldn't have. No, I probably should have stopped before. That thought shouldn't have come out. Yeah. He goes, no, you didn't have to go there. now they're all going too legit to quit. Yeah, I even got the hand motions down. That was back. But MC Hammer was a Christian from what I was told. Anyways, so let's go on. That's terrible. Forgive me. Can you delete that whole thing? I can't. Okay. Ugh. Oh, my flesh got in there, didn't it? Okay, so let's get back to my notes. Here we go. So let's get back to our faith, patience. Together, you'll inherit the promises of God. So when trials come, rather than resisting the trial, it's time for us to stand firm in the faith and stand and speak to the mountain of that trial and say, be thou removed and cast thee and continue. And I think it was Keith Moore that Kenny was sharing a story about recently about the mountain being moved. Yes, okay. So a couple months ago, this was it's not the last series, but the series he did before, where he talked about imagine, rather than seeing the mountain just disappear like that, imagine driving to work every day. And as you're driving to work, you're speaking that mountain every single day. You're speaking. And all of a sudden, one day, you realize, wow, the sun's in my eyes a little bit. And as you keep speaking, the mountain just kept going slowly down till one day it was gone. Folks, sometimes we got to get out of the mindset that just because you say it's going to happen right now. Now, I have seen it happen now and believe it still will because faith is still a now word. But my now word is still going to be my now word tomorrow, the next day, and my patience is going to continue to stand on what the now word is. So just because faith is now faith is the substance. And it's not tomorrow's faith, it's today's faith. But today's faith is supposed to be today's faith forever, not just one day. And that's faith. Okay, let's jump in here. Let's keep going. So knowing this, that the trials come, we do encounter trials. It says, you will encounter. If you don't like this word, by the way, about trials, then don't quote Jesus in John 16:33, where he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Don't quote him then because you hate that one. But here's what but you know what? Can't stop there. Why? Because he gave you the answer the next, right after that. But be of good cheer. Have confidence. And this is what I'm going to paraphrase a little bit for you. He says, I overcame the world. And guess who we have inside of us? The overcomer of the world is in me now. So today it can be paraphrased like this. In this world today, you will encounter various trials and tribulations. But we had to be of good cheer, have a good attitude, have a good confidence, have a good hope inside of us. Because the God that overcame the world is inside of us to overcome that trial. Imagine living and going through trials with that perspective. Rather than, oh Lord, it's happened to me again. It always comes in threes. Oh, why do we do this to ourselves? Oh, you know this. The other shoe's going to fall here, or whatever these stupid phrases are we use all the time. I can't wait for this to happen now. And all of a sudden, we start speaking more and more bad, and we wonder why the trial that was here to attack us has now gotten root in us. How did it get root in you? Because somehow you came in agreement with it. Our faith needs to rise up with patience. And then look, this says, once the trial comes and faith gets applied immediately, we start declaring faith over that trial. Patience of walking this out becomes part of it. And then look at verse 4. This is amazing. But let patience have her perfect work, meaning till the time. What's the word perfect mean in Scripture? Complete. Thank you, Sharon. You're a great student today. I love it. The word perfect means one that comes to completion. So let patience have its complete work that you may be what? Perfect, complete, and entire, lacking, wanting, whatever words you want to use, nothing. Now why, tell me again why patience is a bad thing. Tell me why we are so afraid to teach the word patience because, oh, what are the... It says this, that because of the trial, it's going to produce more patience, and patience produces that. Anybody in the room right now who doesn't want that, just go ahead, just let me know. Anybody does not want to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing? I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good promise I want to hold on to. So the promise that we have, and it's also a fruit of the Spirit, because faith is one of them too, by the way, we're going to get to next week. So a fruit of the Spirit as I throw my notes on the ground. A fruit of the Spirit is patience and faith. So imagine us as Christians living in faith and patience. This ought to be the fruit of our lives. This is really good news today. A lot better than some of you are looking at me like, oh, I'm not getting it. I'm still not sure if I want to pray for patience. I would pray for patience every day because that means that patience is producing the faith, which is producing me living a life of completeness, lacking nothing. That's a good life to live. And I'm just going to keep reading these next few verses because I like to stay in context, and I love the next few verses. If any of you then, who are going through all this and don't understand how to get through it, you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And God gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Folks, if you don't know how to get through it, ask God. This idea that you're by yourself and you got to fight the fight, you're, hold on, stop, Lord. I got to have your wisdom here. I don't know how to get through this. The Bible says he'll give it to you liberally. He wants to give you his wisdom on how to handle every situation you're going through. If you don't know how to handle a certain person in your life, ask the Lord. If you don't know how to handle certain situations you're going through, ask the Lord. He wants to give you wisdom on how to win these battles. Amen? All right. But, oh, there's always that but. This but I like too, by the way, but it's a little bit more of a corrective but. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So if you ask, you still got to ask in faith that you're going to hear and believe what he says. And then once you hear it, you got to believe it. Because if not, you're like that wave tossed in the sea. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is just a great message when we're talking about faith and patience. You can't go out saying you're believing God for this when you're speaking it over here the opposite. Would you all agree with me on that real quick? You can't say that I know God wants to bless me and walk over here and talk to me how cursed you are. To me, there's something wrong with that problem. There's a problem with the what you're believing and what you're speaking aren't lining up. And faith requires us to speak to believe. Romans 10, we talk about all the time. How do you get saved? How do you receive by faith? It's the same thing every time. A man believes in his heart, speaks with his mouth. With the heart, you believe. With the mouth, confession's made. How? Do you walk out faith? You believe in your heart. God's word is truth. And you confess it with your mouth. It's not one or the other. You know what? I grew up in the church too. That we'd all have the prayer meeting. Okay, squeeze the hand next to you, let the next one pray. I got a private request I don't want to talk about. Okay, we pray for your private request. I'm not really sure if that accomplished much. I mean, maybe it did at that age. I don't know. Maybe that's where our faith was. But you know what I really prefer? I prefer right now this. I was at a meeting on Friday. And there was a gentleman that was resigning from his position at a company we're friends with. So I went down to their luncheon for him. And he was diagnosed with cancer in the liver and had a lot of different situations going on in his life. And he's not a believer, but that's okay. I didn't care. I still took a chance to tell him. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, Tom, I've been praying for you ever since I got the report about that cancer. And I'm believing with you that God is going to take care of this for you. I want to believe with you, and I just want to talk to you a little bit. So I talked to him. I got a chance to encourage him. And later on that day, he came back to me. As I was leaving, he said, I just want you to know, I've got the report back that there is no cancer in my liver. And I said, now, Tom, I know you're leaving Taco Bell, but I want you to know that wherever you go, I want to be friends with you. But I'm praying for you because I know that God did not put me in your life just to be a vendor to your stuff, but I'm praying for you, and I just want you to know, as you leave this job, I'm praying for you still. And he just gives me a big hug and thanks me for it, and everything was good. But you know, that man doesn't have much faith, but I knew that my faith had to be spoken over him. I just wanted to say it over him. I wanted to speak it over him, just so he could hear it. Now, granted, I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes later. It's an environment where you hear a lot of colorful language. As you know, I don't like hearing it. I'm around it, unfortunately. I hate it. I just don't like it. And I don't prefer using it myself. But when I'm around it, you're around it. But then it's like, okay, well, you know what? I still sowed some seed in there with my words. I didn't just think it. I wasn't a little I dream of Jeannie moment. That's what I, see, when I did that, that's what I thought of. See, I said it again. I'm willing to use my inside now. It's not working very well today. That's twice I failed. I didn't just think it. I spoke it. If we're going to believe with somebody, there's nothing wrong with standing in agreement with words. If we're going to believe for something in our own life, our words ought to line up with what we're believing for. You can't tell me, and our actions too. And I'm not big. One of the things about this church, you guys, I've been here 20, this is my 22nd year. I love every part of this. You can't tell me we've never lacked one bill and we have never lacked provision. So I don't go ahead and hammer giving and people are like, well, you don't ever talk about money because money's between you and the Lord. If you understand the power of tithing, tithing lines up with your faith and where your money's at. If you don't tithe, I know where your money's at. It's in what God. It's not in what God's doing. It's in what you think you can do. And I can tell you that's why you're failing. I'm not going to be mean and rude. I'm just going to go get in God's word. Test me. Malachi 3. I can go through all of God's word, how to bring in the whole tithe, not part of it. Bring in the whole tithe and test me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven for you. Old Testament, that's okay. He's the same God. Same God who believes that we ought to be giving in our first fruits to him. And so I'm not here to challenge and preach you and condemn you. I'm letting you know, I know where your faith is, where your money goes. True? Just where your words go. Faith and action line up together with one. And so my encouragement for you this morning is let your faith, and then go, oh, I tithed for 3 weeks, it didn't work. Oh, faith and patience now. See, it works together. It's all one message. I've been speaking healing over my body for 3 days now. Faith and patience. I've been speaking peace over faith and patience. They're fruits of the Spirit. I might actually skip faith next week now just so I can have a whole thing because I'm preaching more on faith than I am patience. But when we learn that these are fruits of the Spirit, we ought to be wanting to live in faith. It ought to just be a doctrine we believe because Paul writes a lot about the Old New Testament. It's about living the word in faith. It's not just that. It's the fact this is a fruit of the Spirit. Us being Spirit-filled believers ought to be faith-filled believers and patience-filled believers. Now, before I stop the word patient, because I don't want to jump into it, let me give you a definition. Let me see. I wrote it down here somewhere. There it is. Graham Cook said this, actually. And if you didn't know, Graham Cook, I don't listen. I don't really. I haven't listened for. I went to a conference years ago, and he did a series on this. And what he shared was phenomenal. And actually, I have it on my phone. It's in my office. So I can't. It's something I'll probably share next week with you. Imagine if the fruit of the Spirit were used as weapons of our warfare. It's a phenomenal teaching. If you haven't read it, it's a whole different perspective than what I'm doing now. I encourage you to go download. I think you have to buy it. I don't think it's us free. I think you got to actually buy all of his stuff. And so it's a two-part series, though, on the fruit of the Spirit. And it talks about imagine if you use love to combat hate. Mm-hmm. Kindness to combat mean people. And so I shared a little bit. I'm going to put a few of those in my notes like I did last week. So the opposite of patience, of course, is being impatient. But you know what it also is? I love this. These are some of the words that I found in just throughout the week. Patience is perseverance under pressure. Endurance without complaint. Let me read that one again. That's good. I saw a few moans on that one. Oh, you mean I can't complain when I'm in faith and patience? No. Endurance without complaint. Not complaining about the trial. That trial, man, it's pressing on me. Stop talking about it. Speak to it instead. We give more airtime to the enemy's plan than we do God's ways. That mountain's so big. Stop talking about it. Start speaking to it. Stop talking about the cancer and start speaking to it. Stop talking about the pain and start speaking to it. Start believing that you have received by faith God's promises. Endurance without complaint. Calm expectation. And of course, the last one is persistence. Patience is persistence. It's not giving up. It's not giving in. And if we're going to be a Spirit-filled believer, that's it for this morning. By the way, I got through one. I'm going to pull a Kenny here. I might hit 10 weeks after this one. I told you I'd never be able to pull off a 10-week series. I guess if I go on enough tangents, though, I can pull it off. Unlike Mr. Teacher over there, he does 10 weeks and has about 20 weeks worth of notes he can keep going into. But a Spirit-filled believer is a faith-filled, patient-filled believer. I don't know what we're all going through today, but I want to have the fruits of the Spirit. I want love, joy, peace, and I want patience and faith to manifest in my life every day. This is walking in the Spirit. We're doing a series on walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means you're walking in love. It means you're walking in joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're walking in peace, the peace that passes all understanding. When you don't even know how to handle a situation, you still got peace that goes and gives you the comfort that you need no matter what battle you're facing. And then you take that peace and you add patience and faith to it. Now you're becoming someone that is going to see victory and overcoming nature inside of you. Amen? Let's pray and let's believe. Father, I thank you right now that we at Spirit Life are longing to be Spirit-filled, walking out the Spirit believers, that we are walking out these fruits, that we're not just trying to work at them, they're naturally a part of our lives. May we become more loving because we're being led by your Spirit, more joyful. Maybe the world ought to see our smile and want more of what we got rather than our grumpiness, our peace. They notice that no, everyone around them is full of stress and anxiety, but this person over here has a fruit of peace manifesting in their life, and everyone's going to want what they got because the fruit of peace is. And today, Lord, as we add these fruits into our life, as we keep walking, I water the word today in everyone in this room that faith and patience will be watered and still produce fruit in everyone's life in this room today. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's word never fails. Isaiah 55, as I'm just praying here, my word will never return void. It will accomplish what I sent it forth to do. Isaiah says that. Isaiah 55, my word will never come back void. It will always accomplish what it was set out to do. Today, may we believe you at your word. And may we have patience to stand and to stay and to walk this out every day of our lives. We pray a blessing over all you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.